So I'm just going to read the translation in purport again, and then we'll speak a little bit, as we already did the verses yesterday. So this is Lord Rishabhadev speaking. He's saying, "O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master." That's interesting, spiritually advanced spiritual master. "In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the supreme personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life, air, mind, and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus practicing bhakti yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego." So, purport by Zavangre Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In these four verses, Rishabhadeva tells his sons how they can be freed from the false identification arising from false ego and material conditional life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapohet, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Arasamrita Sindhu Shri Guru Pada Ashrayaha. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tadvigadartam Sagurum Avigachet. By questioning the spiritual master and serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping, and dressing is reduced. By association or associating with a devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Madhava Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods, but here good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as his worshipable deity. Another important item is Dvandva Ditiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, Tamsa Tikshasha Bharata, one has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to the scriptural injunctions, is also accepted as brahmacharya celibacy. But illicit sex is opposed to religious principles and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vijnana virajita. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four shlokas is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. In other words, bhakti yoga is the acknowledged path of liberation. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Adhyatma, "Atmano vitam karma avarajita vanya karmanaha kamasya cha parityago Niri het yahur uttamaha. One should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. Any other activities should be given up. When a person is situated in this way, he is said to be desireless. Actually, a living entity cannot be totally desireless, but when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Spiritual knowledge is jnana vijnana samanvitam. When one is fully equipped with jnana and vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, ninth chapter, text 31, Jnanam paramaguyam me yad vijnana samanvitam. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of all living entities. This knowledge is vijnana, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter, text 9, janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatvataha chaktva deham puranajanma, naiti mam eti sojanam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, Om Ganatim Adanda Shah, Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Miditam Gena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, this verse, or these verses, remind me very much of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter. Where Krishna describes, of course, the entangling nature of this material world, comparing it to a banyan tree. And the interesting thing about a banyan tree, of course, there's also it's also an upside-down banyan tree, because the banyan tree is reflected on the lake or the river, and the branches are down and the roots are up. But the interesting thing about a banyan tree is you can't really tell where it begins and where it ends. And we had we still have a banyan tree in our temple in Hawaii. It's actually one of the largest banyan trees in the Hawaiian Islands. And it's interesting, the branches have roots. I don't know if anyone's ever seen this with a banyan tree. I mean, the branches actually go out and they have roots. And the branches connect to the roots. And the roots are going out even to the neighbor's property and choking off the drainage and the water supply and everything like that. So in order to rectify the situation, the temple had to spend thousands of dollars to, you know, trim some branches and trim some roots, because they needed what's called a cherry picker. A cherry picker is not simply meant for picking fruits, but it's one of these devices that there's like a platform and has pneumatic things that can actually, anyway, it puts you in the air and you can cut tree branches and things like that, and you operate it with levers. I don't know if anyone's ever seen a cherry picker. The electric company uses them. Anyway, so the point is, the banyan tree is a very complicated tree. And the material world is even more complicated than a banyan tree. You can't tell where it begins, where it ends, and you're stuck in all the branches and fruit of activities. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita gives this elaborate explanation in the 15th chapter. And then Krishna says how to get out of it. That's what I'm referring to right now. He says, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha vyatma nicha vinivritta kama dvandvara vimuktar sukaduka sangya gachanchi muda padamaviyam tat. Which is very similar, you know, pretty much the same points that Lord Rishabhadev is making here in this verse. First of all, nirmana. And what does that mean? No false prestige. That's also very similar to Lord Chaitanya's instruction in Shikshashtaka, Amanina Manadena. And so I'm going to explain how to accomplish each one of these particular points that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita verse. So Lord Chaitanya says that in order to conquer this false prestige, desiring respect, Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada translates as desiring respect, one should give respect to others. Amanida manadena. In other words, to serve others, not simply to give respect in an external sense. Of course, we find devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami, for example. He was offering respect or dandavats to like 1,000 or 2,000 Vaishnavas a day. I mean, that's pretty interesting. I mean, it's not simply just a ritual. He was actually feeling that this person is worthy of respect. And interesting also, in reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is offering respects to the readers. I mean, you actually find the verse that he's saying, I offer my obeisances to the readers of this book. And yeah, that's very highly unusual, isn't it? That someone will be offering obeisances or respects to a reader. The author will be offering obeisances to the reader of a particular book. So you find this, that it means offering respects to others, and even others who you don't like. You know, because this whole point of not liking also is actually against Krishna consciousness, anyway. What is that? Yastu sarvani bhutani atmana evanu pashati sarvabhuteshu chatmanam tatodna vigigupshate. That's from the Isopanishad. That one who sees everybody or everything in relationship to the Lord, especially all living entities, doesn't hate anybody. But sometimes the mind, not sometimes, usually, or in many cases, the mind has all these different things it comes up with, you know, bubbles up with things that are just really counterproductive to Krishna consciousness and really something we don't want. But they bubble up. You know, we have these animosities towards people. Wow. You know, we want to... Anyway, we want to hurt someone, or we feel that someone wants to hurt us, or whatever it is. So, what I find is that if you offer respects and even service to such a person, then it helps you overcome your idea that you're very important. Because what does mana mean? Wanting respect comes because you think that you're respectable. In other words, you're important. You want, you know, of course, it's natural to want a little appreciation. Appreciation means like feedback that we've helped someone or something like that. But respect is a different thing. Respect and profit adoration is a different thing. That's subtle sex desire. That we think that, you know, we're really an important person. But actually, we're, as Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami in Benares, he said, we're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. And we think we're very important. So, amanina manadena. So, going back to the Bhagavad Gita verse, nirmana. So, first thing is, give up false prestige. Or, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaya hari chunadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaya hari. So, you can actually relate Lord Chaitanya's teachings with different verses in the Bhagavad Gita, or different parts of verses. So nirmana, and then moha. Excuse me. Moha means illusion. And the illusion, the primary illusion or madness that we're in is that we're this body. And then there's so many, as Lord Vrishabhadev talked about previously here, that there's so many expansions from this body. This is this verse. Pumsa striya mituni bhavmetam tayor mito radi granti maho ato grik cetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yam. There's that word moha. Again, see. Janasya moho yam aham ameti. Moha meaning illusion. And the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita verse. Excuse me. So we have this body that we identify with. We have this mind that we identify with. And then we have the extensions or the extended body and the extended mind that come from our identifications with family, that come from our identifications with a country, that come from our identifications with a particular race. I mean, and this is a natural thing. Just like I'm reading in the news sometimes about the Israelis fighting the Palestinians or the people in Gaza. And then naturally, my mind identifies with the Israelis. I mean, it's crazy. But the mind does these things. Isn't it, Mother Christian Priya, that naturally when you read about these things, you think, oh, there's my people. I mean, it's subtle. That's good. But there's a natural, at least in my mind, there's a natural identification, you know, with people who have some bodily connection with me. You know, it's amazing. And that's moha, or illusion. So one has to give that up. And again, see the true equality of all living entities. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihashtani. Shuni Chaiva, Swapake Cha, Pandita Savadarshana, thank you. Carrot juice. So, no, it's not. I'm just joking. As Bhagavad Gita, there's another Bhagavad Gita verse. Of course, I think you all know the Bhagavad Gita. It's an important book for us. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Govihastani, Shuni Chaiva, Swapake Cha, Pandita Savadarshana. Pandit sees with equal vision a dog eater, you know, outcast, a Brahmin, all these things like that. So that's how we give up our moha. So it also refers to how to see different living entities, to see them all equally. And of course, Bhagavad Gita also talks about how that's an understanding in the mode of goodness, to see one underlying spiritual nature, understanding the mode of passion is to see different entities and different bodies as being different in essence. And understanding in the mode of ignorance, forget about that. Then you just think one type of work is all in all. So that's Bhagavad Gita again. So we have this understanding and passion right now that we're actually seeing difference in essence. Of course, everyone is different in terms of the soul as individual. We're not all one, in spite of what some Mayavadis say. I was just hearing another thing funny about Mayavad philosophy last night from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, that the Mayavadis think they're enjoying, and their enjoyment is like when we say, I had a good night last night, I slept soundly, and then if you ask them, do you remember anything? No. it's so funny, you know. That's a Mayavadi enjoyment, you know. You don't remember it, but at least you were out of consciousness, you know, and you didn't toss and turn in the middle of the night. You didn't wake up and have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you know, so you had a good time. So getting to the point, nirmana moha. So we have to give up that illusion that we're connected with this body. And then jitta sangha dosha, which is also mentioned here, that you should take good association, but jitta sangha dosha is the opposite side of that thing, meaning, which is the same thing, jitta sangha dosha, to give up. Jitta means to conquer, sangha, association, dosha means bad, like a dosha pancake. It's not cooked very well. So jitta sangha dosha means to give up bad association. Or as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, sat sangha tyag a Vaishnava char. That's the first quality of a Vaishnava. I mean, that's really hard. And one can overreact in that too. I mean, I remember when I first joined the movement, I heard give up bad association. And then I just practically cut off all connection with my parents because of that. That's overreacting. So there's a happy medium there. You know, You can go to see your parents, but if you're spending 5 days in Thanksgiving with them, maybe that's, unless they're Christian conscious, of course, that's Sangha Dosha. You know, there's a certain amount, yes, you can associate and give them association, but if you're spending so much time and, you know, you're not taking advantage of association with the devotees, then that's Sangha Dosha. So there's a happy medium. We don't want to apply any of these injunctions in a way that's impractical or fanatical. You know, when I joined the movement, I was so fanatical, Jita Sangha Dosha, that I wouldn't even look at my mother. I told that story many times before. And I always bring a brahmachari with me when I went to see my mother, and my mother would just say, "You're trying to protect yourself against me." I mean, she actually could understand what I was doing, because every time I came, there was some brahmachari, you know, stand like that, you know, just making sure I didn't lust after my mother or something like that, which was kind of silly. And then I would just look at her feet. And whenever she spoke, I would just go, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," even loudly. She said, "Stop chanting. Look at me, look at my face." And I said, "No, I'm a devotee now." You know, anyway, so that's too much. So really be intelligent when applying these particular injunctions. So whether it's too much or too little, you know, one does have to become detached from bad association. But that detachment occurs in the heart. Sometimes externally you have to, you know, for certain circumstances or reasons, you have to act like you are attached. Like Prabhupada said, even in household life, a good husband will act like he is attached, but not be attached. You know, if his wife says, you know, "Do you like this new dress?" Then he should say, "It's a wonderful dress. You look like 20 years younger in the dress." Even though he's... even though he's thinking, "This is Maya, who the hell cares?" Who the hell cares about a pink dress with frills on it? You know, this is stupid. But, you know, he has to act like he appreciates. "Oh, very nice dress." So, you understand? So sometimes one has... I mean, it's not being dishonest. It's just being sensitive. It's just being sensitive. Because if you're, you know, if you're too, like, out front and, you know, honest, or just, like, throw the philosophy at people, can really discourage people in Krishna consciousness. You know, therefore Krishna says in the Gita, "Satya Priya Hitam," one has to speak pleasingly, truthfully, and beneficially. Nowadays on the internet, people, and also speak the truth. Yeah, speak the truth. And so people on the internet, they just want this truth thing, and they've thrown away beneficially and pleasingly. And also regularly reciting the Vedic literatures. So they just want to smack, and everybody has their own truth, too. Because basically by taking different quotes from different shastras or even things Prabhupada said, you can almost prove anything. There's these quote or shloka wars. And therefore, in the Mahabharata it says, "Tarko pratishta shutinana vina." You're not going to really understand what to do just by taking quotes. But only by Mahajanyena Gatasapanta. You know, basically, see what Prabhupada did, how Prabhupada acted, how Prabhupada applied the philosophy, the vijnana, this jnana and vijnana. So, nirmana moha, jitta sangha. And the opposite side of jitta sangha dosha is taking good association, which is what Lord Rishabhadev says here. You should take good association, you should always associate with the devotees, listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also in the first part of this verse, or the first verse, he says, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. That's interesting. A spiritually advanced spiritual master. I mean, how Prabhupada repeats those words. So how do you know that someone's a Paramahansa? I mean, that's a hard one. Because you can tell, let's say up to Nishta. You know, Nishta means, you know, someone's steady, day in, day out, 24/7, especially if you put a camera in his house. You know, you can tell he's 24/7, he doesn't look at CNN too much. CNN is the cable news network on the internet. So how can you tell whether someone's a highly elevated paramahansa? You really can't. Except with someone like Prabhupada. That you can tell. Because someone who is, we call him Jagat Guru. Of course, that sometimes that's a Mayavadi term. You know, Prabhupada didn't really appreciate that term that much because the Mayavadis generally use that. They call each other Jagat Guru, you know, Shankaracharya, Jagat Guru this. You know, and nowadays, of course, devotees say, Jagat Guru, Prabhupada. But Prabhupada didn't like it because generally that term is used with Mayavadis. But in essence, someone who is actually Jagat Guru, like Prabhupada, that is an indication that someone is a Paramahansa. Someone who is able to take Krishna consciousness from being completely non-existent in the world to making it a household name, you know, the Hare Krishna mantra household name. That's evidence. I mean, an ordinary devotee, even an ordinary pure devotee, can't do that. So basically in ISKCON, we're all riding on Prabhupada's coattails. So I'm not saying that no one in the movement is a Paramahamsa, but I'm also saying it's not that every guru in the movement or every person in the movement is a Paramahansa either. I mean, sometimes people think that just by taking up a Brahman, becoming initiated, you know, second initiation, you become a Brahman. And that created a lot of problems in the movement, that we had a lot of people who thought they were priests and Brahmins who actually didn't have the qualities of a Brahman. They had Shudra qualities. And therefore, there was fighting because of that or whatever. And we see this all the time. That, you know, people who take initiation think they have the qualities automatically. So anyway, getting back to the point, it's not that everybody is a guru or everybody is a preacher, is a Paramahamsa. And it's a very rare thing to be a Paramahamsa. Because Paramahamsa basically means a topmost swan-like personality, a personality who actually other devotees take shelter of. That's what we call Prabhupada. Prabhupada means he who other Prabhus sit at the feet of. It also means he who sits at the feet of the Prabhu, the ultimate Prabhu, who is Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, one funny thing is one of the devotees in the movement, he's going around preaching in India, and because he's not a sannyasi, he wants to have a better name than just like Prabhu. So his followers call him Mahaprabhu. I mean, it's not nice. You know, so he was going to some preaching, he's an ISKCON devotee, he's going to some preaching program, and they say, oh, there's Mahaprabhu. It means the great Prabhu. But that name is reserved for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, even though we can say a pure devotee is a Mahaprabhu, that name should not be used for them, no matter how pure they are, because that name is specifically indicating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though linguistically it's correct to say that a pure devotee is a Mahaprabhu, means a great master. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So, how do we deal with this? You should accept a highly elevated Paramahansa. Well, that's easy to deal with that because everyone accepts Srila Prabhupada as his ultimate, you know, the ultimate standard, the ultimate source of Shiksha. That's there. And the gurus in the movement are seen as bringing people to Prabhupada. They actually are not Ritviks, but they're gurus. But they're bringing people to Prabhupada. That's the point. And if a guru doesn't bring people to Prabhupada, then you may not be accepting a highly elevated Paramahamsa. You may be accepting someone who is, you know, Madhyama Adhikari, or you may be accepting someone who's on Nishta, which is nice. I mean, it's nice to be in Nishta. You know, I appreciate that when a devotee's on Nishta, you can depend on them. That's a very elevated stage. We're not denigrating that particular stage in devotional service. But someone who doesn't connect you with Prabhupada and take... What does it mean to connect you with Prabhupada? It means to take Prabhupada's instructions as his life and soul and to teach that to his or her shishas or followers or students. That's what it means. To teach the Prabhupada's instructions, guidance, etc., are your life and soul. And that's, life and soul is a very heavy term. It doesn't mean, you know, like some girl says to a boy, you are my life and soul. And then 2 weeks later, you know, that was my old life and soul. Here's my new life and soul. In other words, boyfriend, here's my steady, you know, they call it steady, Nishta. Anyway, yeah, it's interesting. Here's my steady, here's my Nishta. So, not very Nishta in my mind. So, you know, anyway, so to life and soul means that pleasing Prabhupada is what your goal in life is. And not only like listening to Prabhupada, but pleasing Prabhupada, following Prabhupada, carrying out Prabhupada's mission is your life and soul. So then, by accepting Prabhupada in that way, you're accepting a highly elevated Paramahansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. So this is nothing. So, Nirmana Moha Jitta Sangadosha, using this Bhagavad Gita, Avyatma Nijamani Vita, Avyatya, Avyatta Nijam. Being established in eternality, Nitya. That means being absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, actually, because what's eternal? Nasato Vijite Bhavo, Nabhavo Vijite Sataha. Ubiyarapi drishtavantas 20s tatvadarshavi. What do the sages say? The sages say those things which are temporary are unreal. And those things which continue to exist are real. So what continues to exist? Does this body continue to exist? Maybe as the elements, you know, when it goes back to the pranam, no. Body doesn't continue to exist. America doesn't continue to exist. Your computer doesn't continue to exist. Your youth doesn't continue to exist. What continues to exist is Nityalila, Krishna's pastimes. So that means as far as possible, we should be hearing about Krishna's pastimes as much as possible during the day. You understand? Lila, Nitya Lila. So that means to be absorbed in the eternal. And then Vinivritta Kama, that's a big one. To give up kama. Kama means basically lust for enjoyment, enthusiasm for any type of enjoyment, not only the lusty things in terms of like sex life and stuff like that. Even the Vedic literature, it's not a Vedic literature, it's something that came out later, it's called the Kama Sutra. It's like a book on how to be lusty. So Krishna says, Vinivritta Kama, to give up this lust. Now, how does one give up the lust? There's different methodologies. One is the deity worship, worshiping the form of the Lord, because in this material world, we're lusting for some other body. Just like you see all these magazines in the supermarket with pictures of people, you know, different women or even men. You know, muscle magazines or whatever it is. And so if we look at the Krishna, instead of decorating our body or it be interested in how other people decorate their bodies, we try to decorate Krishna's body nicely. Like if you go to a jewelry store, instead of thinking this would look really nice, is this really me? You know, is this... Nowadays, of course, they have computerized things you can try on different jewelry or different hairstyles, isn't it? You've seen this? Without actually buying it. I mean, you just go put your face in front of the computer, and then you just press a few buttons, and there you are with the, with Swarovski earrings on or something like that. And then you are with an Afro hairstyle, or there you are with red hair or purple hair. Even the hairdressers have that now. Did you know that? If you go to a hairdresser, they have computers. So instead, just thinking when you see something nice, that would be nice for Krishna. Even me as a sannyasi, when I see a jewelry store, I become attracted now. I was never attracted before to jewelry. But I think, oh, this would be nice for Krishna. So that way, one gives up lust. The deity worship, hearing Krishna's pastimes from the right person, Krishna's intimate pastimes in Vrindavan, vinivritta kama, and then another thing that was mentioned here, because you don't have much time, dvandvar vimuktar, being freed from duality. Duality like I and mine, heat and cold, which is mentioned here, tolerating. Kamsaticcha Shivarta. Rishabhadev mentions that. And actually Prabhupada mentions it also in the purport. Just tolerating these dualities. I mean, sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too cold. I mean, these dualities are to help us become detached. We should welcome dualities. You understand? Friends, enemies. Because if we didn't have these dualities, we wouldn't become detached from the body. If it was always like on the heavenly planets, just very, very nice climate. Everybody was beautiful in his own way underneath the sunshine in the merry, merry month of May. As a song, I mean, how would we become detached? We just, you look out and there's a beautiful sunset and there's mountains here. Because we do have one mountain, mountains. So, you look out and then there's a waterfall out there, but there's not. It sounds great, yeah. But how bewildered would you get? So one morning we walk out, it's freezing. The next morning, it's too hot. And we see someone, they like us. See another person, they hate our guts. So that helps us. So, dvandvar vimuktar, sukha-dukha samgar, known as sukha-dukha, happiness and distress. And then, gacchancha mudha padamavyam tat. That's the final statement in that verse in the Gita. In such an unbewildered state, Padam avyam tat. Padam avyam tat. Someone can reach pada avyam, the transcendental abode of Krishna, and leave this material world. So that is the methodology prescribed by Lord Rishabhadev, also mentioned by Krishna in this verse, which I cited from the Bhagavad Gita. So thank you very much.